29-45. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleaning as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere.
Thank you for the reading of the word. I want to begin by asking you a question this morning. So good to see a crowd here. So I thought I might present the message a little bit differently since there's so many people here. Question is, what utility do you use more than any other utility? And you probably take it for granted most of the time. Don't think about it. What utility? Use water more than electric. Electric, I would say electric. It's not to be debated, but that's the point. Electric. Where does it come from?
The sun.
But where does the electricity we are now participating in right here with these lights come from?
Turbines somewhere.
We don't even know. Isn't that interesting? We don't even know. And yet we use it. We enjoy it. It is a great service to us. But how? It comes from somewhere, definitely, or we wouldn't have it. Is that understood? How does it get here from there? How? Anybody have an idea or vaguely?
Power lines.
And there's enough for everybody, isn't there, that use it? That's amazing. Yeah, see, it comes from wherever it is produced, through power lines to distribution centers. I'm sure they all have a better name than I'm using, but every time I come in 250, there's a power, I call it distribution center there alongside the road. You may have gone by, never seen it, right close to Jake's convenience store. And that has something to do with distributing the power to this community, that community, and then it comes to each individual residence and property, and there it goes into what? Transformer. Or now they call them electric utility boxes, the transformer. And from there it goes, there it is reduced to appropriate that particular building, and there it flows into there in a very large combination of wires, and then in the building it is distributed through what we call circuits. And then each circuit has outlets. And when we speak of those outlets in electrical terms, we speak of them being either dead or alive. And we want them to be alive because there is a need for electricity. And so we plug in the coffee maker into that. And not electric. That electric from way off somewhere that we don't this morning even know where it comes from makes the coffee maker work. We flip on the switch. Kind of take it for granted. And yet it is all part of a very intricate and appropriate plan and design engineered to meet the very need that we require. The abundant life circuit is very interesting. When we think of God, God is life. It describes God more than anything else. I used to always think in terms of power, but that is an action of God. That is the results of who He is. Majestic life. Vibrant life. And He made human beings and He breathed into the first one the breath of life and he emerged a living soul. He made a circuit here on earth. Connected to Him. When we come to the New Testament, and Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Abundantly. Excessive life, overflowing, surplus, over and above. That was the purpose of Jesus' coming. How did it work? Well, Jesus, God in the flesh, but God the Son, came as a human being and he put aside his position as God and became a human being, connected to God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we see him in the context of today's scripture, walk into a house. He says, hello, Peter, how are you today? Peter said, things are bad around here. Mom's sick. One of the Gospels says she had a very, very intense fever. She didn't just have a 98.8. She had a 103.6. Probably would have died. Very ill. Neighbors knew she was ill. And he walked over to her, and again from the various Gospels that he spoke to her, he touched her, and she rose up, was made whole, and prepared dinner for him. That is a demonstration of life surging through a circuit into another circuit, and bringing about a miracle. Abundant life is at work. People took notice in that community and they said, wow, this man Jesus, this was the beginning of his ministry, really has life to give away. Life that we need. And they brought to him the sick, the lame, and the demon possessed. And he healed them. And he got tired because he was human. And he went to bed and rested and he got up very early in the morning and went out to Father God and cried out to him and restored within him the energy, the life-giving energy that was demanded of him as a circuit of God here on earth because there were needs out there. And there he was, connected to God. And he went from that experience connected to God. But it's very interesting, very interesting. Peter and the others went to bed. And they got up in the morning expecting to see Jesus somewhere close by. But they're all excited because yesterday, look what he did. Last evening, look what he did. Now, we know there's a lot more people around. We want to see him get to work and do it again. And the thing they were overlooking was that, first of all, the reason Jesus did what he did is because he, first of all, cared. And because he cared, he connected with God, and he connected with people. And before he cured anybody, he first cared and connected. There are no cures until you care and are connected. And there's not always a cure, because it's more important to care and be connected than it is to be cured. We don't see it that way. But then they found Jesus. He would have been alone with the Father, and they said, "Come on, Jesus. There's a lot of more people around here that need your touch, that need that life." And you know what he said? "Let's go somewhere else. I don't do just what human beings want. I do what the Father directs. What the source of life wills, that's what I do." And they went to another area. And he said, "Others must know about me, know about God." And he preached the kingdom, because the life of God is to be distributed everywhere to every living human being. God is no respecter of person. Jesus came for everyone, regardless of race, creed, color, location, or what. Everyone needs his life. As God views humanity, he sees great need. We see great need. A question I asked God for many, many years, and I don't ask it anymore, was, "God, I know who you are. I know what you have. You have called the church. I know what the church has. We have the keys to the kingdom. And I look at the world, and there is so much need, vast need, tremendous need. In every capacity there is need, in the areas of economy, in the areas of health, in the physical there is need, in the spiritual there is need. Why is there such a gap between over here this potential supply to meet the need and the need? Why doesn't it get there faster? Why?" How many of you have asked questions like that? God, with your strength, with your power, at your word, you made a world. At your word, you can create, can do the marvelous. I don't ask that question anymore. There are probably greater answers, better answers than what I'm going to give you. But God has developed a system, and that he sticks to. He sent Jesus. Jesus to call all men to himself. To connect with him and the Father. Because he cares. The expression of his love is that he cares. Jesus had a twofold ministry. The one part, the one fold we are attracted to and we ask questions about, and it's so obvious in this context of Scripture, if we're not careful, that's all we see, just the curing part of it. But Jesus' ministry of curing was far inferior, you may argue with this, to his ministry of caring. He cared. He cared for everyone, and he still does. And it is his care that we must connect with. It is his care that we must have for other people. It is his care that took him to others. He cared. Peter captured that when he said, "You're overburdened with cares. Cast all your care upon him. For he cares for you. He cares." And I used to say, then why don't he do something if he cares so much? I don't ask that either, because he always does something. Move a little bit to some words of the Apostle Paul. When Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, what did he mean? I'm sure I'll discover more about it, but I see something I never saw before until I read a book recently titled, Where is God When It Hurts? And the conclusion of that book is, he's been there the whole time. Caring. Paul is saying, I believe to himself, I am suffering. Life requires suffering. Humans suffer. They're not made and caused to suffer. That's a part of being a human being, suffering. How many of you have suffered at all? We suffer. Paul says, okay, and we can see this demonstrated in that scripture about his thorn in the flesh. Whatever the illness was, the infirmity was, he talks about his infirmity. It probably was an infirmity. He said, I don't need this. I'm a child of God. Man, I have had spiritual experiences. I've even been in the presence of God in heaven. So why do I need to put up with an infirmity? But God showed him that he wasn't going to take it away. And Paul says, okay, I'm suffering. Jesus already suffered. Jesus is with me. He will come and walk with me in the suffering. He knows what suffering is all about. He will care. He will have compassion. He will give me strength. I am not going to allow this thorn in the flesh to hold me back any longer. I'm not going to brood over it, make a big deal over it anymore. I'm going out and serve God with a thorn in the flesh and start living the life of Christ because I want the fellowship of His suffering with me in this, that I may therefore glorify Him. And no matter what happens, I will bring Him the glory, because Paul understood something about the circuit that Jesus creates. He says, all things are from Him, all things are through Him, and all things are for Him. Okay, God, I'm a human being here. I have great need, but You are the life, the giver of life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness don't know what's going on, because when that light is turned on, it flees away. It's a greater power. But we must not stop with it being a greater power. God is not just power. God is a person. When we talk about God, we are not talking about a force. We are not talking about ability. We are talking about a person that comes to us, abides with us, walks with us, talks with us, encourages us, invigorates us, strengthens us. And that's why you can look at a person like Johnny Erickson, who says, in spite of all the limitations which come from my foolishness, I will glorify Him. And she puts a brush between her teeth and learns to paint pictures. She opens her mouth and speaks words of encouragement to thousands. She takes her abilities of her mind and creates a ministry that ministers to handicapped people all over the world. Why? Because I will not be here any longer. You read her books, you know she struggled. You know she had to overcome depression. But I don't need to do it, because He is life. And He has wired the system that comes down to me. And I know my circuit, but I don't know the potential of it until I start meeting needs and see how many people God's going to plug into me. And you and I are here this morning as a circuit. What happens to us at times? We have too many people plugging in. Shorts it out. You're working in my shop. This happens occasionally. I have several machines on a certain circuit. But on that same circuit is the air compressor, which I use occasionally. So I've learned I can turn the blower on, take the dust away. I can turn my sander on and sand away, run board sweat. But if the air compressor automatically comes on, everything goes dead, because there is too much of a demand on that circuit. And everything stops. And so then I have to go flip switches. Thank God for the safety switch. You know why we can't do what we like to do at times? We cry out and say, why can't I hear your people raise again like you did? Simply this, if we would, it would knock the circuit. So God knows. He flips a switch. don't allow us to do hardly anything to us if we start paying attention to what He wants us to do. And that is what Jesus did. He got connected and He cared. Caring and connected us is the activity we must be involved in. Nobody does anything worthwhile for God until they start caring about God and caring about people. And I used to want a healing ministry so bad. And I asked God to heal people and He wouldn't do it. And then every once in a while He would. And I'd say, well, if He can do one, He can do them all. I used to ask why He doesn't heal everybody. It's because I needed to learn how to care. Care about God and care about people. And I don't even pay that much attention to the healing anymore because of this. When you care and you're connected, you have a source of His life flowing through you. You never know what God might do. You just love people. And you just enter into their misery and their pain like Jesus does. And you get beside them and you love and you encourage and you strengthen because you care. Have you ever asked the question, when you look at it realistically, what really is the difference between the ability of a Christian and an unchristian? I was with a group of people on Wednesday. I don't know how many were Christians. I would rather believe most of them were not. But one thing about everybody was they cared. We were helping a quadriplegic gentleman move. These people were volunteering their time, their energy, their pickup trucks to help him move. They cared. It was obvious. Everybody cared. Ted Turner gave away 2/3 of everything he owned not too many years ago because he cared. He thought he had the means and the assets to help a lot of people in the world. He cared. You don't have to be saved to care. You need to be saved because then you connect and then you carry a presence, the presence of Jesus into everything you do. You carry His presence. You're a circuit. You're a circuit. And only He knows how many outlets you have. I don't. Because if I knew, I would overload them all at times, and other times I wouldn't use any. He knows. And so He, in His great majestic wisdom, puts people in your path and He says, connect, bless them. People who really need a connect. Have you ever noticed that? We can fuss about people and the way the world's going and all these Aryan people and all of that and all of this and that and everything, but you realize the Christian is the only one that can do anything about it worthwhile. We're the only one that has a connection. We're the only one that has a connection. And if we don't care, how will they ever know Him? For gospel is hid. It is hid to who? Them that are lost. I close with this. Bible school teacher had just explained to our class how Jesus comes into our hearts and lives, how He helps us in our behavior, how He helps us help other people. And so as a quiz at the end, she said, now, tell me, boys and girls, where does Jesus live? Where? In us. I answered. The boy raised his hand. Teacher. Now, God is so much bigger than us. And if He lives in me and all these other kids, why isn't He sticking out at least a little bit? You keep connected, you care, He'll stick out.